open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. I mean,
that's right.
If they're not even going to give me any effort on the basketball court, I'm not going to give any effort in my hello there. I'm just going to hello there it. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Mandatory minicamp coming up this week. At least there's some positivity and some optimism still in this building, but we'll start with the obvious, and that is, of course, the events of last evening and the Cleveland Cavaliers, getting absolutely destroyed by the Golden State Warriors. They were out-physicaled. They were outplayed. They were out-coached.
Out-hustled.
They were out-efforted. They were beaten in every way imaginable, and in a way that suffocating defense outclassed them just with the ball movement and the teamwork on the offensive side of the ball. It was a group that looked much more like a team to me than a bunch of individuals where the Cavs kind of looked that way. And it just, I mean, 110-77 doesn't even do it justice. Who's the leader of this Cavs team? Because I know it's supposed to be LeBron James, but LeBron James, and maybe he will come to have a miraculous come to Jesus and do something unreal, because if they win it, it'll be that kind of an unbelievable story. But he doesn't seem to be that kind of a leader. He doesn't seem to be wired like the greats. He needed that Dwayne Wade alpha male, just step on their throat, killer assassin there. It was tough to watch. And the small ball lineup of the Warriors is actually bigger, longer, faster, more skilled than the small ball lineup of the Cavs. It is a very, very difficult, difficult matchup. There's a reason they won 73 games. There's a reason they were able to come back 3-1. And as you and I were talking before the show, nobody can break down this Warriors defense right now.
No.
And they're content to let LeBron drive and bull rush and go one-on-one, which is what his game seems to be reduced to. Kyrie is not getting in, breaking down. We're not getting the open spot-up threes that we're used to getting. And I think
JR, who shoots from anywhere, is closed out consistently.
Yes. He's taken seven threes in the series, 2 of 7.
He had 15 in multiple games last series, did he not?
Yes.
Or 12-plus?
Channing Frye has attempted one three-pointer in the whole series.
Which means his feet aren't set consistently, and there's someone running at him immediately. And I think as I look at this series, and I was not an advocate, and I understand that Tristan Thompson's a good player, but their equivalent in Draymond Green, the guy almost put 30 on us, or did he? What do you have, 28 last night? 5 three-pointers, and Tristan Thompson can't make baskets from 4 feet away consistently. The one reverse was whipped, you know, dip-diddy-doo out of his wazoo yesterday, but he can't consistently rebound the basketball because he's tied up with Bogut or tied up with Draymond or somebody. So we're getting out rebounded on the boards. We had him in the I think the first quarter or maybe first half or the first game, but I would imagine they out rebounded us, and I just can't have non-offensive players in a series like this where we're struggling to score points.
Well, it just goes to show that you can have specialists at a time, but only when you're the superior team. When you're not the superior team, you need to have guys that can compete for you on both ends of the court. And when the Warriors go out there, they're just a deep team. Barbosa is a very good player.
And I knew, and I'll interject right here, and I knew that we were in trouble from not just a game one standpoint, but from a series standpoint, when Steph took his rest and they went on a run. That was Barbosa and Barnes and Livingston game one. And we have at least two of our big three on the court, Kyrie and LeBron, LeBron and K-Love with JR. And we're coming down missing shots, and their reserves are coming down and getting baskets. So when Steph gets subbed out, the game's 6, 7, 8 points. When Steph subs back in, it's 12, 13, 14 points. And our starters are being outplayed by their reserves.
And they're not afraid. We talked about this as well. The second quarter was LeBron's best quarter easily in this game. I think he scored 14 of his points in that second quarter, 12 or 14. And the Warriors won that quarter by 10 points. And it would have been by a lot more if it weren't for, I believe it was an 8-0 run to close out the half, to make it an 8-point game at the half.
Yeah.
They are just suffocating on defense. The Cavs don't seem to have an offense other than the bull rush. They're not helping on the bull rush from LeBron. And I think you get an appreciation for what, and I know, oh, you love Russ, but Russ could get into the heart of that defense, and you still saw a lot of wide-open threes in that series for Ibaka, for Robertson. You saw their perimeter guys getting wide-open threes because they could break that defense down. The Cavs can't break down the Warriors' defense. Kyrie can't do it, and LeBron can't do it. And when LeBron does it, they have no interest in helping because Iguodala can play him pretty tough.
You're absolutely right. And I think through two games in Golden State, I will say – And let me know if you agree or not. The referees are letting them play.
It's very physical.
It's very physical. And that goes into the favor of the Golden State Warriors because LeBron James, our guy that is the penetrator, there's nowhere to kick because he's singled up. They're swiping at the basketball for turnovers. You know, Iguodala is smacking that down off LeBron's knee, smacking down steel. Then they're off in transition. Or LeBron commits to going to the rack. Bogut comes over. No one's following. Someone's standing out 3-point line. There's no passing lane for LeBron. So LeBron's committed to the shot. Gets fouled, but it's not called, and it ends up being thrown at the hoop. And it's a quick rebound, ball going the other way.
If you had said before this series, and maybe this is just my ignorance from not like following these teams, following the Warriors that closely during the regular season, but if you'd said to me before this series that the refs are going to let them play and the more physical team's going to win, you know, I would think that that's going to favor the Cavaliers. But it doesn't at all. In fact, the more physical team clearly, I mean, without any question, is the Warriors.
And I know that, you know, Kevin Love subs himself out after staying in the game. And this, to go football really quickly, you look at Kevin Love, got blasted in the back of his head. They get to take a TV timeout. Kevin Love ends up staying in the game, then subbing himself out later because of dizziness.
In the second half. Yep.
So on and so, whatever it might be. Imagine you're playing the game of football, you take an impact to your head, and this is old concussion, the way we used to play, and the new concussion rule. There's a spotter or a neurologist on the sideline not allowing Kevin Love to get back in that game. But back when I played, it was, you got hit in your head, you got dinged, you're dizzy, whatever, you shake it off, you stay in the game. And that's why we're having some of the problems that we have right now. But I thought, at the time that we needed to get stops most, you got Love getting banged in the back of his head. Draymond gets a 3-point play with Love on the ground. And then JR gets a brush on his cheek, his lips, or whatever.
That was early in the game. That pissed me off so much.
And then he's standing there in the middle of the lane with his head down, and they get another basket. So 5 points came with one guy looking down at the ground and another guy on the ground.
At least Love got hit. JR got barely slapped in his face and tried to make theatrics out of it. And literally the ball's sitting right next to him, bouncing. And they just go pick it up for a basket, and then he's fine 2 seconds later. It's the NBA Finals. Get the ball. If you're hurt, get the ball and call timeout. It's NBA Finals. Every possession matters. Anyway, you can call us up. We can talk Cavs 216-578-0850 here in Berea. Everybody excited for the mandatory mini camp that begins tomorrow. 3 days at camp. Paul Kruger, in fact, earlier today tweeting out, and I love this, said, Browns mandatory mini camp this week. Can't wait to get to work. Our team is hungry for success. You can feel it. That's a veteran. How many guys at their stage of their career where Paul Kruger are excited for a mini camp?
Not many. They're like, can't wait to go here, you know, on July, whatever. Yeah, exactly. You're right. And I think it just goes to show how committed this team is, and the members that make up this team are following in the footsteps of their leader. And that's why I've said it. I said it this weekend. You know, when you have an opportunity to get exposed to people and they get you, you know, I went to a couple parties, a couple little barbecues, and they, of course, want to talk Browns. And the analogy that I use to kind of edify this point is that right now it's not this guy or that player that excites me. Hugh Jackson excites me.
Yep.
And the decisions that will be made of who plays in Hugh Jackson's scheme will be what I'm in favor of. And the same can be said for Ray Horton. After having him in here and understanding the 3-4 defense, sounds a lot like what I played in successful 3-4 defenses. And I think every spot that Ray Horton has been, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Tennessee, here in Cleveland, there was a vast improvement in a very short period of time. That's what I'm a fan of. And I think Paul Kruger at this point is excited, as he said on our show, to come to work for these guys.
And that's the spirit that you want to see. And it's funny. It's like you're watching the game last night. And it was like, did the Cavs know it was the NBA Finals?
You would have thought it was their Christmas Day matchup. I mean, have the Cavaliers lost to the Warriors both this season and in the playoffs by more than 100 points? Because I know the 46, I think they've got beat through for the first two games, is the most ever through two games in the NBA in NBA Finals
yes,
history.
Yes, it is. This is the biggest margin after, yes.
But I just would imagine that if, because I know we got our butt whooped by 20-plus in the first game, and then I think the Christmas game was something in the teens, if that math adds up to over 100 points in just a matter of a few games.
It's not good, no. And I believe they've lost seven in a row to the Warriors.
Including last year's finals.
Including last year's finals, all by double digits.
Yep.
And you're supposed to be confident about where this team is going right now, and it seems to me to be a very, very difficult sell. But they come home. This is, you want the positive side of it?
I do.
After two games in the Cavs-Toronto series?
Yeah, this is a good point.
Nobody thought Toronto was winning a game. And then Toronto went home and won both of them.
Correct. Handily.
Now, in reality, I think that was more of a scary look at what the Cavs could be than it was a comment on Toronto's resilience. Because these are the Warriors. And they're better than they were a year ago. Now, the coaching disparity, and I know Blatt somewhere is laughing. I'm not saying that Blatt is any type of a difference in this whatsoever. But he did more with less last year, at least through two games.
He did. And the one thing that frustrates me, and I thought about this, you know, last night, and even turning it off in the fourth quarter with LeBron and the guys on the bench, is, and you brought up Russ, and I just know that this, for success to happen, you have to study success. The Thunder didn't go up 3-1 by accident. It was deliberate. There was something that they were doing that the Warriors couldn't handle, or they were doing something to the Warriors, and the Warriors couldn't make enough baskets. So it was offensively and defensively, which is why they got up 3. And then, of course, it all led to their demise once the Warriors figured it out. And I don't know if Tyronn Lue, I know we're not the same team because Kyrie's not Russell Westbrook.
No.
That's very, very clear and apparent. So the physicality we're missing, but can we go back and study what the Thunder did to be as successful early in that series and replicate it somehow, some way? Because coming home and playing in Cleveland is not going to be enough to stop this team.
I don't think
because they don't care.
I don't think they can because we don't have anybody that can get other players open shots right now, and they did with Russ.
And what's crazy to me is, I don't think we have a player right now that can create his own shot other than LeBron James. And Kyrie's just 5 of 20 every night.
He's not playing well at all.
No.
And he's going to need to. At some point, you sit there and you say, this is why I got nervous, is that, okay, maybe you're just playing bad, but at some point you have to give some credit to the Warriors' defense.
Absolutely.
For what it is doing, because it's dominant right now. And that is a big, big problem.
We had two points. I mean, how many points did we score in the third quarter?
In the third quarter of this game?
Yes.
That would be 18 in the third quarter, 15 in the fourth quarter. We gave up, and here's the other scary trend. The final three quarters of the game, the Cavs were outscored 33-23 in the second, 30-18 in the third, 28-15 in the fourth. I mean, that's double-digit being outscored in quarters. Ay, ay, ay. For Cleveland, though, you do have the first-place Indians, 4-game sweep of the Royals.
That's right.
So that's good.
How about Lindor, man? Yeah, I got to watch like a snippet at one of those at a friend's house. They're enamored with the game of baseball because there was nothing else to watch, so the Indians were on, and I sat there and watched Lindor. I mean, he's just so good.
So good. So good. If you want to talk, by the way, the best person that's kept me completely in the loop on the Indians is Todd Derry. This guy... It doesn't matter where. He's at every single game. He's live tweeting. If you want to follow the Indians, it's at TD1TribeKU. TD1, the number one, Tribe KU. You're going to get all that you can handle as it comes to Indians content. And then Kansas, University of Kansas basketball as well. But you're going to get all the Tribe content you want. Right now, Tribe is exciting. It is Tribe time. Gibbs, how are you?
Thank God that minicamp starts tomorrow.
I mean, you know, it's funny when we were going through and I was like, they're saying Warriors in five. By the way, the Warriors series win percentage now is over 90%. So they're still saying there is some chance there. But and they were saying Warriors in five. And I'm like, that's not that likely. And I'm like, wait, all that means is they win two home games. They win one in Cleveland. Then they win game five at home. I guess it's
very likely.
Yes.
You have to win four of the next five games.
Yes, that's why that felt like a must win.
We talked about it Friday. For those people that didn't think game two was a must win, how are you feeling this morning? And I don't want to hear – I've been listening all day. I was listening all last night, watching all last night. I don't want to hear about the officials and how the officials sucked. Your team just flat out didn't show up. Good teams fight through that.
Who's the leader of this team? I mean, it's got to be LeBron, but is it –
It's Who's LeBron, but LeBron's not a leader.
Right. And what's with the comment prior to this game about LeBron from an organizational standpoint being a low man on the totem pole?
I don't know.
Who? Because you're not David Griffin? Griffin. You know, if you're not Dan Gilbert and you're not Tyronn Lue, those are the only three people with more power than you. Are you saying James Jones is the leader of our team? I cringe watching James Jones walk on the floor.
Gave a nice forearm shiver to Steph Curry.
He did. Right. I wish it was a little harder. And my God, it's about time someone stood up and did that.
But well, I mean,
Curry played 25 minutes
hands
last
in the
night,
air.
By the way.
Yeah.
He was plus 25 in 25 minutes. Iguodala was plus 28 in 28 minutes.
They're insane numbers. They didn't show up last night. I don't know why.
And I made this statement off air before we jumped on the show. Between last year's NBA Finals, and I don't watch a lot of NBA basketball, so take it, and I mean, when I get a chance to watch the Cavs when it matters, I watch the Cavs. I have never seen a team get more dunks, more open dunks and open layups than I do with the Warriors playing the Cavaliers. In any game, that's last year's Finals, that's this year's Finals, that's the two regular season. I have never seen a team get more dunks and layups than any other team that I've ever seen versus the Cavaliers.
And Matt, you... While you didn't play professional basketball, you were a professional athlete. How do you not come ready to play in a championship atmosphere? Not one game, but two games now. You haven't shown up when no one's giving you a chance to begin with. How are you not ready to play when that ball goes up in the air?
I have no idea. And I find myself, because of the time that we beat the Raptors and kind of knowing that we'd beat the Raptors and wait to see who we play in the Western Conference, I'm not – even me. I want a championship for Cleveland as much as anybody. But the way in which Game 1 went, the way in which they played, and now even more so after watching last night's game, I might set my DVR and catch up watching Game 3 right here in Cleveland. As hard as that is. I put my kids to bed. I walk down. I turn the game on mid-first quarter and catch it. It's not a priority in my life because it doesn't seem like a priority in their life based on the way they played in two
you
games.
You might as well join in progress because if they're getting their you-know-whats kicked in, all right, cool. Right. I don't have to watch anymore.
I told my wife, start a fourth quarter. I go, turn on some Housewives. Let's get dumber. Let's watch some stupid TV now because after what I saw, it's not worth watching.
I went back and forth with Brian Windhorst on this on Saturday morning. We do Hey Windy. And he said, he goes, you can't take J.R. Smith out of the starting lineup. And I said, that is lunacy. This guy disappears in the biggest moment. This is back-to-back years. Guy plays well, plays great during the regular season, plays well for the most part in the postseason. You get to the finals, and he is a human disappearing act.
Well, hold on.
Hold on. Jesus.
He had a couple of nice steals. At least he was, I felt, giving significant effort on the defensive side. Now, when he let that ball bounce next to him while he was grabbing his face, that disgusted me. But nobody's getting shots for anybody. We're monopolizing the ball. I would love to see what those stats, you know, they do the stats where how many, the amount of time per shot clock that the ball is just being pounded. The Cavs have to be off the charts on that right now.
There was a stat this morning that Brian Windhorst told the really big show. And let me see if I can find it. I mean, it was crazy. It's basically when Kyrie Irving got the basketball, when he got the basketball passed to him for a play or for a shot, he was 8 of 9. When he was creating his own shot.
Is this in the series?
Yes. He was 4 for 28. The Golden State Warriors are loving it when that guy's just dribbling the basketball.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
the only guy who came to play was freaking Richard Jefferson.
Yeah. The guy that probably shouldn't be on the floor.
Right.
He was the only guy out there 90 minutes before tip-off warming up.
Shump's game is as bad as his hair.
J.R. Smith had just arrived at the arena 90 minutes before.
And I said this to Zagura, is of all the games in all – okay, how much? This is the, 90th some odd game for this team? Of all the games after what happened in game one, for you to show up after Shump got the money that the Cavs gave him, $40-plus million, of all the games for him to perm his hair – and pay tribute to Prince or whoever it is he wanted to pay tribute to do it in game two against the Warriors and play the way he played and have that team play the way he played. It was embarrassing to watch that thing flop up and down the court. It was horrible. What are you doing?
Minus 20 in 20 minutes on.
And I would have said, and I said this too, as if I were LeBron and you showed up in the locker room looking like that, I'd have buzzed your head short and a new flat top to come ready to play. Because to me, that's goofing off more about your style and your swag than it is about winning. And you're in the finals.
There's a lot of guys riding LeBron's coattails just enjoying the ride. And then all of a sudden, it's time to put up or shut up, and everybody's crapping down their legs.
Yeah, stuff gets real.
Yep.
And then 5-7 years from now, everyone's – I mean, even Jerry West commenting on LeBron's legacy after going 6 finals in a row. Imagine that conversation if we go to 4 more finals and win, 0 for 4 or 1 of 11, whatever it might be.
It kills. I don't want to pile on LeBron because clearly LeBron is giving somewhat of an effort. But, 7 turnovers in a basketball game is inexcusable, especially when you're an elite player like he is. You can't turn the ball over 7 times, and then you can't pick and choose when to play defense. I heard a caller today. It was dead on. They only play defense when their offense is going well.
Yes, we're a great – I said this – you know what I said?
It's true.
They're a great front-running team.
Yeah. The moment there's adversity, this team gets it –
there weren't many, personalized handshakes last night, were there?
No. I'll be honest. I would have been – they spent the night there last night before flying home. Just there's something about rest and everything. If I'm Ty Lue, I'd have made everybody get on that damn plane and fly home last night. I'd have been like, no, you're not staying. Let's go. You're going to stay up all night, and you're going to watch the tape of that game. You're going to watch that debacle. You're going to watch both games.
It's terrible. All right,
but I don't even know what you do. I mean, I don't even know how you change anything. And it's going to get to a point where I feel like they're going to win a game just to keep the series alive and just delay the inevitable, which is going to make me more angry. That's what last year was.
No, win a game. You don't want to get – we'll see what happens.
I'm not saying – they're going to win one of these two games at home. Then again, I was guaranteeing last night that
they
would show
win,
up.
If they don't win game three, then it's
ugh,
it's all over but the
crowd.
The thing about it is where – to win, you have to see where you have some type of a tactical advantage, a personnel advantage. Where is it? I don't see it. I don't see a tactical advantage anywhere for the Cavs, and I don't see a personnel advantage. Now, maybe they'll figure it out, but I guarantee you the Warriors and Steve Kerr and his staff, which is phenomenal, are already coming up with the counterpunches for any possible move that the Cavs make. I hope it is a turnaround like the Toronto Cavs series. I hope that's possible. I just don't know that it is. I remember, though, when after that game from Toronto, I said, we just got exposed. All of a sudden, we were this pretty princess, and the light hit us just right, and there were a lot of warts, and that image was saved for posterity. And I think that you're seeing the Warriors just expose, and abuse them. And they just physically dominated. And I know Stephen Smith likes to go on his rants just for, you know, the hyperbole of it and just what he likes to do. But that was – I would never have expected a performance like that. Because if we said that was – and you know that you feel, right, that was a must-win game.
Yep.
It's basically in some ways like – it's not a game seven, but it's kind of like a game seven. You need to win that game. That should have been – that should have felt – in many ways, like an elimination game, and for that to be the effort and that to be the resolve, the pushback, that's the other thing. There just wasn't pushback. And I felt at the beginning of the game they had it, and they should have been up like 10-0 at the beginning because the Warriors were so bad early, and they just couldn't do it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I want to see it. The city deserves it. The city deserves some fun. It's almost more torture to get this far. Now, granted, when the Browns get to the playoffs, then we can worry about, like, you know, things like that. But you just want – the ride is phenomenal. But when you get there, when you've got the LeBron, you're not supposed to – it's not supposed to be like this. And
no.
What was that stat? They're 2-7 in the last 9 games. Is that right? In their last – in the finals? Or 2-10 in the finals, the Cavs? Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway.
This is the third finals, right?
Yes.
So they got swept by San Antonio. Now they're in this one.
Yep.
They went, and last 4-2. Year was 2-4. And now 0-2. So 2-10.
Yeah, and I saw a stat on the treadmill this morning. 3-28 is the record of teams that have gone down 0-2 in the NBA Finals.
3-28?
Yes.
So it's happened 3 times. That's the number that I just heard. It's not zero. All right.
Great. Everybody eat a nice poop sandwich. Welcome to Monday.
If I felt like they were competitive games,
this is a CBD record segment, right?
It is a record segment. You'd feel like, okay, maybe we could get something. But right now, there are a heck of a lot more questions than there are even potential answers. And there's a heck of a lot more evidence that says we're going to get absolutely beat down than there is that says we're going to win.
And we haven't even talked about, will we have Kevin Love on Wednesday or not?
I don't even know
You know what? There are a lot of people in that Golden State organization last year that were not pleased that Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were out because they thought the Cavs were a better team defensively with Dele and Tristan than they were with Kevin Love and Kyrie. And
okay, enough with this. Okay, but those people are already thrown out for being buffoons with the Dellavedova talk. Enough of that.
Just saying. Got to play defense at some point.
He's getting abused. He's out there when Leandro Barbosa is looking like Michael Jordan.
I don't know the Allen difference Iverson. Between Dele and Kyrie Irving right now defensively.
No, but at least you get some offense from Kyrie.
You're not getting enough.
It's bad. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we can talk Cavs, but also I know a lot of people are like, we want the show to get away from the Cavs. Listen, it's the biggest story in Cleveland. We're in the city of Cleveland. We're going to talk about it, but we're happy to talk any and all Browns questions. You want to talk Browns, call us up. 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm35, at BGSUGibbs. Tweet us. Talk to us. We'll do whatever we can. We'll talk Browns, Cavs. Sad Monday, Cleveland, but you know what? Mini camps tomorrow, and that's exciting. CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you. We'll go to the phones now. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Matt in Massillon, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Love the show.
Thank you.
The one thing I've noticed about tying into the Cavs and the Browns, the lack of leadership and playing out over the course of the Cavs season is the lackadaisical attitude of taking days off or, you know, being, you know, just resting, okay, when other teams such as the Golden State Warriors are going, you know, balls to the wall as far as because they want to set their record. They want to be great. And pushing themselves, and the Browns, and I respect Joe Thomas. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's, you know, but these veterans' days off and things, setting the we're not going to the same old stuff that's been going on for for years is not gonna. You know, we're not gonna stand for that. And me as a Cleveland fan, you can lose. I mean, I'll take losing. Obviously, you don't want to lose, and I tested like a sickness, like any other person to ever play the sport. But if you don't give the effort, especially in Cleveland and the Midwest and the Rust Belt, with people who get up and go to work every day, even if they're sick or they have other stuff going on in their lives, if you don't give the effort every day, that what I saw last night was an abomination. That was an abortion to the athletic spirit. There was no heart in any of those people.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. It was a demolition and a quitting. And that's what I think was so tough about it. And look, at the end of the day, whether they lost by 15 or they lost by 35, it really didn't matter. Like, I understand people are getting mad that guys were sitting in the fourth quarter. That game's over.
Yeah, what are you gonna achieve by putting people back in the fourth quarter?
Some people were saying, you know, you find something, find some lineup that gets any positive momentum going forward. Well, it's...
But you could do that, but they're starting to sit their guys. So if you have some success, how do you really know if that was even going to be possible?
Right.
Yeah.
I was surprised, honestly. I mean, this is maybe the WWE fan in me, but when they left Steph Curry in, when it turned into like the scrub contest, I thought somebody would take a shot.
When James Jones checked him?
I was hoping.
I was like, maybe more than just an absolute, like, just the dirtiest player ever. Have Deli just go down and literally try to put the figure four on him and wrench his knee. Like let's just not even make any, who cares? What, is there going to be an asterisk? I'm trying to win a championship here.
Yeah, but could we beat the Warriors without Steph Curry?
I don't know. Somebody did say that to me last night when I threw out my theory with the people that I was watching the game. They're like, Steph Curry hasn't done anything. He played 25 minutes last night.
Right. And he didn't. How many did he play in the first game? Not much more than 30.
Well, I mean, he was useless. He was useless in the first game.
I still – just my wife and I and the family just joined the Westlake Rec.
Nice.
Great rec center.
It is a great rec center. Thank you. I went this morning. Took part in the gym. We went on Saturday, tried to go to the gym, but they're
36 in game one, only 24 minutes from Klay Thompson in game one.
That's right. They're but there's no kinder care, I guess you can say, on weekends. So I just like, sweet, let's just go open gym. So I went and got a basketball. And this leads me down another road, okay, when it comes to, you know, me knocking LeBron, and I'll get back to my Steph Curry point here in a minute, is I used to run like the layup drill, the full length court layup drill, just cycle, right hand layup, left hand layup. So I wanted to get my heart rate going. Cause again, I came wanting to do a workout, Mason shooting on the lower hoop, Giannis dribbling, you know, shooting on the lower hoop. And I'm doing the layup drill cause I wanted to get my heart rate up and then walk to the free throw line and shoot free throws. Okay. I went 9 of 10 and 8 of 10.
Nice.
Okay. I'm not a professional basketball player. Who gets paid $20+ million to make baskets? How can you not, and you're the best player in the world, make your free throws, okay? And it's not so relevant to last night, but it's just in general. I get frustrated going 1 of 2 every night at the line.
Yes.
Okay? But going back to my point, you know, I start short. I build confidence just kind of probably the same way you warm up at the range. You know, you start with your, you know, short to mid irons, and then you move into the big dogs that need to eat. I did the same thing. That's the way I warm up for basketball. So I start getting my stroke, and I'm shooting threes, and I just start, and I was like, I created like an imaginary, you know, 3-point line from where NBA kind of is. And like, what a heave it is for me to shoot it, you know, even with some legs in it and getting the ball. I was making some. But for Steph Curry to, like out of the corner of his eye, peripherally see the rim and throw it at the rim the way he does.
It's crazy.
And have it go in. I have never seen anything like it. And I'm not saying he's a better shooter than Bird. And I'm not saying he's a better shooter than Craig Hodges or Mark Price or anybody that you think is the best, or Reggie Miller. But I have never seen anybody in the history of NBA shoot the three-pointer the way Steph Curry does.
Never. And – do you remember the play yesterday? They were going on a run. They ended up passing it to Draymond, and he was like wide open for the three at kind of the left 45.
Elbow extended, yeah.
Yes, left elbow extended. He passes in the corner. He passes it underneath, like makes an extra pass. They pass out. They pass, like four passes later, and all of a sudden it was just like the ball never touched the ground for a second. It was like hot potato. Boom, 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 pinged around, and all of a sudden Klay Thompson was wide open and just – total switch. And I was like, that was one of the prettiest basketball plays I've ever seen.
And Draymond, who was running
was
hot,
on fire,
had a wide open three.
And passed it. I don't know. 216-578-0850 here on CBD. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll go back to the phone lines. Barron in Cleveland, believing in the Cavs. Let's go. Let's hear some belief, Barron.
All right. Here's the thing about it is that we're not – first of all, good afternoon, gentlemen. And I want to say something. First of all is we've already learned the leadership is not just with LeBron. Tyronn Lue and the coaching staff got to realize at this point – we can't play what their team is designed to play. We won more games without Love and Kyrie because we were forced to have some kind of identity, a defensive identity. I think I challenged them to go back to the tapes, look at what Platt and them did last year with what little they had, and go back and develop an identity. This team has a weakness. Well, I seen a play last night where Kyrie Irving had a seven-footer. He was standing on dribbling the ball outside. They had a point guard in Moscow, and he doesn't pass the ball down in the low post. This kind of basketball where the Cavaliers do not want to attack an opponent's weakness on the inside, it's going to kill us. They have a weakness. If they want to go small, we're going to have to beat them up down low in the low post. We have to dissect what they're doing and attack their weakness. We don't do that. We consistently try to be like them, and we're not good at that.
What do you think their weakness is? Because this is – from watching, look, they won 73 games in the regular season. We know they were down 3-1 to Thunder. The only weakness I saw when watching that Thunder series was that they were susceptible to the physicality and just general athletic ability of Russ, that Russ could get in and actually compromise their defense. I don't know if that's their weakness. We don't have anybody that can exploit that weakness. Because you had the combination of Russ and then Durant.
But we were more successful last year using our physical low. That Draymond Green is not that strong. We do have to get physical. We're going to have to go back and beat these guys up. Maybe we're going to have to beat these little guys up down in the low post a little bit. So that will open up some of the lanes to the three-point shot. We're not making them look at the whole floor. We're just trying to play their game. Feed those guys on it and try that rather than try to make LeBron do everything and open everybody up. You will open up if you start exposing those low post guys down there with the small guys down there. That will open up some of the shooting lanes.
Problem is, we tried to go inside early, and Bogut comes out and sets the tone.
You got to take Love out of the game and put Moscow down there and try to do something else. This is not working, and Love is too slow and non-athletic. He's getting beaten at every aspect. That's all I got to say.
All right, let's get Moscow in there. Let's do it. The Moscow Mule. Let's ride him. 216.
You don't want him right now. He's got one good wheel, and he's drunk on the pop-up.
Hold on. We had Platt,
Tyreek
Irving, and Moscow.
My head hurts.
But we got to find their weakness.
Oh, that was great.
Greg in North Canton. This is a great calling position to be in, Greg.
Yeah. Did J.R. Smith find the fountain of age because he's playing like he's 39?
He does not.
I mean – That's how slow – you know what this is? This roster is constructed for the Milwaukee Bucks in February. And every time there's adversity – and this has happened to this team throughout the season. You know, they've struggled through two or three games, and then here rolls in the Brooklyn Nets, and all is fine in the kingdom. The fact of the matter is this team's not built for the West.
It's a front-running team. Yes.
Yeah, and it's – you know, and it is what it is. You know, they're old. They're very unathletic, and you can get away with stuff against the Sixers and the Nets and whoever else.
Even the Raptors. The other issue was that we talked about this when they were playing the Raptors. They struggled with the Raptors, and the Raptors aren't even built to play the modern NBA.
No.
They have no three-point shooting at all. They're not all that athletic. DeRozan is great at what he does, but it's not a modern NBA game that he has. The mid-range game. Lowry is
He's like Livingston's game.
Yeah, but... Yes. I mean, Livingston is a very, very poor man's DeRozan. But I don't think the Cavs were tested at all. And I think now it's like, oh, my God. They looked like a team that knew they were outclassed. I don't think you can just say, we're just going to go get physical. Who are you throwing the ball into the block on to go beat that? You're going to go big and you're going to run your offense through the block?
No. That doesn't work. Not for the tempo. Everyone, if you listen to the broadcast or the telecast, everyone talks about tempo, 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 tempo. It's the tempo of the game. The Cavaliers meet, you know, basically building this team to play at the tempo that the Warriors play. and we're still not there. You're telling me we're going to slow it down? That means you have to get a guaranteed basket. And if we're going to play it through the block, how are you going to shoot the three? Because they're going to come down and heave it up. Draymond.
They're not doubling
Clay,
anybody in the block.
Steph.
Who can we throw the ball into the block that they're going to double?
Nobody. Not Tristan.
Nobody.
Not Love.
No.
Not Mozgov.
No. I hope they – I mean, I'd like to find the formula. I just don't see the formula. I don't see it. We'll
see. I agree.
216-578-0850. If you want to talk Browns, tweet us. Call us. Some Browns topics. Obviously, mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow, which will be exciting out here in Berea as the Browns put in their final work of this phase of the offseason. Cavs need to put in a lot of work on Wednesday down there at the Q. 216-578-0850. Zagura and Wilhelm and Gibbs. CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. By the way, Barrio Tacos, I'm going to retweet this. If you want to work at the best place, one of the best places in town, they're having a lot of job openings.
I got a job offer today.
And then we'll be there. Yeah, you did. Do you want to talk about it?
Nah.
Okay. All right.
Not from Barrio.
By the way, Pumpkinhead said his highlight of his weekend after the Cavs debacle was seeing you at the Nike outlet.
Yes. I was over in your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Two consecutive days in a row.
We Aurora?
Had the Aurora Farms Nike outlet. Uh-huh. Yes. I was, we went in as a family into the large dressing room with probably 40 plus items. So, and we saw Pumpkinhead coming on his way out. So it was cool.
How long were you in that dressing room?
25 minutes.
God.
Dude.
I'd almost rather be doing the yard work I was doing.
$500 later.
Yeah.
Everybody got a little piece of the Nike outlet. No shoes. I was disappointed. One of my favorite things since I was a kid is when our family would go to the outlets. And it was like a sure thing that you walk out with a pair of, you know, nice shoes, but with a medium price.
What'd you get?
I got a pair of golf shorts. I got a pair of Nike Combat leggings, tights, whatever you want to call them, for workouts. And then I got one other thing. What did I get? Oh, I got a Nike golf hat.
Nice. Sidebar on that, by the way. Golf shorts might be the biggest ripoff known to mankind going in apparel right now.
I don't believe I own a pair of shorts that are specifically termed golf shorts.
Oh, I have. I'm wearing a pair right now. I got probably 12 pairs. But these are good. They're $45, 30% off. They're nice. They're strong.
Very strong to quite strong. All right, 216-578-0850. Let's go to John in Lakewood. John, welcome.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted a Browns question. I'm old school. I hear a lot on your station from a lot of the hosts and callers that Joe Thomas is a first ballot Hall of Famer. That makes my head want to pop whenever I hear that. For, you know, just because he gets picked for these Pro Bowls, well, I don't know who's picking, but he's been average at best for about 5 years. The Browns are last or at the bottom in every offensive category. We had a great lineman in Gene Hickerson. It took him about 40 years to get in the Hall of Fame. So if Joe Thomas gets in on the first ballot with this team and his production, I don't think there's much value in going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think that he has been considered – I mean, the guy's made the Pro Bowl every year he's been in the league. He's been considered kind of the gold standard at that position. I think he has never missed a snap. He is one of those guys that has the respect of everybody that plays against his peers, certainly respect him in his game. So I think you can be a great player, and you certainly know, and I think we all know, that at the end of the day, a great left tackle not going to necessarily impact the game like a great quarterback.
Correct.
And so he can only do so much to impact the actual winning and losing here in Cleveland.
I agree, and to just talk about the Hall of Fame with the number of, you said, quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs and defensive backs or linebackers in general that have impacted the game that will be, you know, up to make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think that there's probably, you know, one offensive lineman, maybe two, that'll make that final, 10 or 12 that ultimately get voted in. And maybe one offensive lineman, one defensive lineman almost every year in that consideration. So if Joe Thomas can make the cut ahead of those playmakers, or is he immediately going to jump ahead of any guy that's been waiting, you know, 3, 5, 10 years to get in? I don't know. I can't say, and this is no knock against Joe Thomas, I just don't know if he's going to cut all those other guys because of his body of work.
I don't know if he will either, but he certainly seems to me to have that reputation as someone who will do it.
Okay.
I mean, Larry Allen just made it as a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2013. So here's like I'm trying to look in the modern last few years, who's made it as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Will Shields as offensive lineman?
2013, and it's going in alphabetical order, so bear with me here. Larry Allen in 2013, I'm just trying to keep it to like the last 10 years. So Derek Brooks, 2014, was first ballot.
Orlando Pace was the first ballot. I'll throw him out here. I know it's not in your order.
Brett Favre, 2016. Falk, 2011. Daryl Green, 2008. You said Orlando Pace? I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Walter Jones. If Walter Jones is a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2014, Joe Thomas is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Jim Kelly, you talked about, as you mentioned, Orlando Pace. Bruce Matthews was a first ballot Hall of Famer as an offensive lineman. I think the guys that do it for a long time and are just, you kind of get regarded as being on a different level, I think those guys make it in. Anthony Munoz was a first ballot Hall of Famer with Cincinnati. I think he can, and I think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Orlando Pace, according to this, was not a first ballot Hall of
Famer. Okay. I could be wrong.
I know. It says he's going in 2016. And it doesn't say anything in first year of eligibility. Those guys are blued out now. It's Wikipedia, so who knows? But
I could be wrong.
There are plenty. Before. The point is, plenty of offensive linemen who have made it in his first ballot.
Hey, Bob in Millersburg asked, was Bruce Matthews a first ballot?
He was. Yes, he was.
That's what I thought.
Pace was second.
And he probably should have been a first.
Walter Jones, for me, if Walter Jones makes it then as a first ballot, then I think Joe Thomas will. I think he will. All right, 216-578-0850. We'll go back to the phones. We've got Donna in Parma. Donna, how are you?
Hello?
Hello.
I'm a first-time caller. I just have a
thank you, Donna.
To ask you.
Yes.
Well, with Kevin Love, I think from the beginning, LeBron James is a very smart player. I don't think he wanted Kevin Love. I think he saw something in him that he didn't like, but between the radio stations and the fans, everyone cried they wanted Kevin Love. So I believe LeBron James shut his mouth and let it all play out. What do you think?
I don't think LeBron James is shy about what he wants. And
I don't believe that LeBron James is influenced by any TV or radio analyst, either locally or nationally. I mean,
I don't know about that. I feel like he's one to look at the stats. He always wants to know what people think. It's important what people think about him.
Would we be better off with Wiggins right now?
Don't get me started.
Go.
So you think it's a no doubt or yes?
I loved Andrew Wiggins. That was my only argument. But I understood the Cavs win now mentality.
The problem is you're not getting – Amon Shumpert's getting paid $10 million a year to be a factor on the wing. Iguodala's making $11.5 million a year.
How much of that goes into hair product?
Don't get me started.
I just think you're not getting what it's supposed to be. And it's funny. Now they're writing the articles. I don't know if you saw this one today, but it almost made me puke. Is this LeBron James's worst supporting cast ever? This is his hand-picked supporting cast. Let's not get crazy here.
I think David Griffin, Wendy, and I have talked about this. This might be the best supporting cast he has ever had.
I agree.
I mean, as a Cavalier, I shouldn't say ever. Like, I don't want to count the Miami stuff. But as a Cavalier, this is the greatest supporting cast he has ever had. I mean, the Channing Frye trade was awesome.
And
except we're not playing Channing Frye in the finals for some reason.
And didn't he – in the letter, he didn't mention Wiggins at all. He wanted Love. He knew this was going down the whole time.
Love and Kyrie are boys.
Yes.
You know this?
Yes.
Okay.
Heck yeah. Nope. Those two are very tight.
2-1-6-5. I just want somebody on this team to get tough. Somebody to get nasty on this team.
Where's Sam Perkins? Where's our Perkins from last year?
Sam.
Put him in, take that guy out. And he would.
Kendrick Perkins?
Kendrick. Did I say Sam Perkins?
Yeah, Sam. I love Sam Perkins. I did love Sam Perkins. By the way. Maybe him and never nervous Purvis Ellison.
Wow. There we go, Gibbs. Well done.
Yeah. By the way, I just think as G Money says, some point you have to give the Warriors credit. I think the Warriors are just really, really good. Now,
oh, they are.
As one of our colleagues pointed out, the Warriors did lose two back-to-back games by 52 points in the Western Conference Finals. I think that was a different Warriors team than this one. I think the confidence they got from running off three in a row against Oklahoma City, the tenacity, and the fact is the Adams gave them problems and Russ gave them problems. Athletic, long, bigs. You can give the Warriors problems, that the Cavs don't have that. They don't have those guys. Tristan Thompson is so limited in what he is able to do, and right now he continues to be out Tristan. He was out Tristan for a while by Bismack Biyombo, and now he's being out Tristan by really the Warriors. And one thing that stood out to me when you're watching the game, he fights a good fight. I'll give him that. But he's going up for rebounds 1-on-4. It seems like they have four guys out of the basket every time for rebounds, and we have one.
Because we're a jump shooting 3-point team.
Or we're shooting crazy driving whoopties. Whoopties. I can't have that. Let's go to George in Cleveland. George.
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, hi. Matt, you're a great Buckeye, buddy.
Thank you very much.
You're right. He is.
I love the Ohio State Buckeyes. I can't wait for college football. You know, Matt, one thing that disturbed me about the you see, is this true? The early line is Oklahoma's favored by 9 points. Come on. I know we lost a lot of guys to the NFL, and it's at Oklahoma. But I can't wait for that game. I know we should be an underdog, but a 9-point underdog?
It's a little much. And I think, you know, who these teams are coming out of training camp and what happens week one is going to have a lot to do with that line moving between now and then.
I'm upset about the Ohio State Buckeyes early college football line, too, Matt Wilhelm.
What is this Michigan-Alabama training together, by the way?
I don't know. To me, Nathan and I had a small discussion about it yesterday at the studio about and Gribble was there as well, and he brought up that Jim Harbaugh was out on the field in an Iverson jersey with no shirt and khakis throwing the pill around, right? I don't know, and not that I would change anything during my recruiting process or where I ended up. I don't want to go play for that guy. My mom and dad would not sign off on sending me anywhere in the country with a guy like that. Okay? Now, I know it's a different world, and Nathan's point, he's completely spot on, having the pro-style offense defense at Stanford, sent a lot of guys to the NFL. Then he leaves Stanford, he goes and plays in the NFL. So he has an eye for talent. He has an eye for what it takes to play at the next level. So for the kids who are being recruited that have aspirations of wanting to play in the NFL, it's an extremely strong pipeline. But the guy is a weirdo, okay? And even still, a small percentage of who actually goes to Michigan is eventually going to make it to the NFL. The other 85% have to be exposed to that guy for 4, maybe 5, sometimes 6 years. And I would not be in favor, that's my coach. No.
No.
That's not who I want to play for. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. I thought at least he picked an Iverson jersey. He may
no,
not.
No, no, no. Don't justify it with a jersey, boy.
He violated all my rules. He had it tucked into his khakis, and he was wearing a long sleeve shirt under it.
That's horrific.
Yes. By the way, how about Brock Lesnar returning to UFC and calling himself Bo Jackson? Said, I'm Bo Jackson, people. He can do it all.
Great.
I think it'll be intriguing.
What happened with UFC over the weekend? Didn't they?
They had two big stories that got broken by a guy named Ariel Helwani, and they've now banned him for life and revoked
from covering
his media
UFC.
Credentials.
What? Don't you want things like that? Don't you want reporters breaking stories?
No, they wanted to get it out.
Well, yeah, but that's your own fault internally for someone leaking it. The problem's not with the guy who broke it. prompts were the guy that leaked it to begin with.
By the way, ESPN might be worth some afternoon viewing today. Former Browns general manager Ray Farmer in studio today on NFL Insiders as well as Tuesday. Adam Kaplan just tweeting that out. Let's see what he has to say. All right. Hour number two, CBD, coming up right after this.